Let's open our Bibles here this morning to for our scripture reading, Gospel of Matthew, chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20, and I'm going to start reading at verse number 1. Matthew chapter 20. Matthew, the very first book of the New Testament in your Bibles. If you don't have your own Bible, we have pew Bibles that you can use. And the pew Bibles are the same translation I use. I use an NIV. And I'm going to start reading at verse number 1, chapter 20. If you have your place, let me hear you say amen.
Amen.
Let's stand while God's Word is being read here this morning. I'm going to read this parable of Jesus, starting in verse 1. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire men to work in his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them into his vineyard. About the third hour, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace, doing nothing. He told them, "You also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. He went out again about the sixth hour and the ninth hour and did the same thing. About the 11th hour, he went out and found still others standing around. He asked them, "Why have you been standing here all day long doing nothing?" "Because no one has hired us," they answered. He said to them, "You also go and work in my vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last one hired and going on to the first." The workers who were hired about the 11th hour came and each received a denarius. So when those came who were hired first, they expected to receive more. But each one of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. "These men who were hired last worked only 1 hour," they said, "and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work in the heat of the day?" But he answered one of them, "Friend, I am not being unfair to you. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the man who was hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous?" So the last will be first, and the first will be last. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, another wonderful parable that Jesus spoke while on the face of this earth. And this morning we want to expound on this portion of Scripture. We want the Scripture to open the minds and hearts of those that need opened here this morning, whatever that may be. And Father, my prayer is this. If there is anyone in this sanctuary here this morning that does not have or has never experienced a salvation experience with Jesus Christ, I pray that today that this Scripture and this message and this day will be their day of salvation. And to you will be all the praise and glory for that. And we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Today we're going to continue in our sermon series on the parables of Jesus. And this is our fifth week. We've already been through this for 4 weeks. So let me just do a real quick little recap for those of you that might not have been with us for the first four. Just a real brief summary. In our first parable, we talked about wineskins. We concluded this, that you can't have Jesus and still cling on to your old religious system. If you want Jesus, you must forsake the old system, the old you, and put this new wine of Jesus into new wineskins. Week number 2, we talked about being the salt of the earth. We compared people with being salt. We said this, are we preserving this world? Do we give flavor to this world? Are we examples of purity and righteousness in this world? Do we make people thirst for what we have? And do we bring a sting of conviction to the world by being bold and speaking the true message of Jesus Christ? The week after that, we talked about being righteous. To be righteous means this, that we allow God to make us righteous by His work and his system, like the tax collector did, not like the self-righteous Pharisee who tried to make himself righteous by his own works and his own system. And last week we talked about people falling away from a professed faith, the parable of the sower and the seed. Some people are like the rocky soil and the thorny soil. What happens to them? They profess a faith. They give lip service to a faith. But when persecution happens, they bail out. They bail out of the faith. So that's a quick summary of the first four that we've covered. Now that leads us to today's parable. The parable of the landowner. We'll call it that. For us to better understand this parable, we really need to read what was happening at the end of chapter 19. Actually, if you think about it, the first 16 verses of chapter 20, what we just read, really should have been included in chapter 19. Why? Because it's really just one continuous thought. So what happened in chapter 19? Let me give you a brief summary of that. It's about a young man called the rich young ruler. Some call him the ruler, some call him the rich young man. I'm going to call him the rich young ruler because that's pretty much what he was. Probably the ruler of a synagogue. This man comes to Jesus and wants to know how to inherit eternal life. What do I need to do, Jesus, to get to heaven, in other words? And Jesus tells him, okay, and Jesus knows the man's heart. If you're going to be a works-oriented guy, then let me give you some works. Well, you need to do this, and you need to do this, and you need to do this, and obey this commandment, and obey that commandment. The rich young ruler responded, I've done all those. Jesus, I've done all those things. And then Jesus hits him with the ultimate. Well, how about this? Then why don't you sell all of your possessions, give the money to the poor, and then come on and follow me. And that's where the rich young ruler just had to draw the line. You see, he'd do all those other religious acts, but not this one. This one's just a little bit too far out of his reach. So that's kind of what has happened at the beginning part of chapter 19. So what I'm going to do is read the response of Jesus at the end of chapter 19, and you'll see how well that his response there really fits into this parable about the landowner. I'm going to start reading at verse 22. When the young man heard this is when Jesus said, sell all you got and follow me, he went away sad because he had great wealth. Then Jesus said to his disciples, I tell you the truth, it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to get through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished and asked, who then can be saved? Jesus looked at them and said, with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Peter answered him, we have left everything to follow you. What then will there be for us? Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth, at the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man sits on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses, or brothers, or sisters, or father, or mother, or children, or fields for my sake, will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and many who are last will be first. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire men to work in his vineyard. It's a good transition, isn't it? Makes the start of the parable about the landowner make a whole lot more sense when you understand exactly what has been happening up to that point. Let's remember the rich young ruler and his situation, because it's what was the foundation of this parable about the landowner. Well, he starts off his parable by saying, the kingdom of heaven is like the kingdom of heaven. We can look at the kingdom of heaven one of two ways. We can look at it from a human perspective, or we can look at the kingdom of heaven from God's perspective. Let's talk about our friend Peter. Peter. Peter saw this whole situation from a human perspective. So let's look at this and let's kind of try to see this through the eyes of Peter. What was Peter imagining and thinking right at this time, right now? Well, what had just happened? Well, Peter just saw the rich young ruler turned himself away from eternal life, and he just heard all these good things that this rich young ruler had done. He kept this commandment, kept this commandment, kept this one. All those commandments he has kept since he's been a child. Then he just heard Jesus say that a rich man can't enter the kingdom of God. And then he just heard, thirdly, Jesus say that eternal life is impossible with man. If you're Peter, you got to be scratching your head at this point and kind of wondering a few things. You got to be wondering this: why am I following Jesus? If this rich guy can't make it, who's been good all his life, and if eternal life is impossible with man, that leads Peter to ask these questions. What then will there be for us? We've left everything to follow you. Where's Peter's mind? Where's his perspective? His perspective is still in the works mode, doing good things to earn favor with God. And the longer you do those good things, the better you're going to be. He probably liked this rich young ruler guy. He probably really liked his credentials and probably wished that his own credentials were like this rich young ruler. But Peter's got to be wondering, if this guy's not going to make it, who did all these good things, and he kept all these commandments all his life, who's going to make it? Time served honoring God has got to account for something, and this guy had it all. I think Peter's a pretty simple guy. He thinks that his dedication and following Jesus should merit him something. Even if it's been only for the past few years, this should get me something, shouldn't it, Jesus? Well, Peter's kind of on the right track if that's what he's thinking. He just has the cart before the horse. He just needs to change a few things around. So Jesus, what does Jesus do? He tells them a parable about some workers. Tells them a parable about workers, a landowner, and a vineyard. And now, when we see this parable, we see it through the eyes of God. We see the kingdom of heaven from God's perspective. And this is really important because God's perspective on eternal life, how to get to heaven, is really the only perspective that matters. So we have a story about a landowner, some workers, and a vineyard. It's not real difficult to understand. Let me tell you what's happening. There are some workers, and a landowner needs some guys to come on in and work. He hires some people at the first hour. The Jews measure time on a 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. scale. The first hour would be 6 a.m. We know that a whole lot of workers came to work first thing in the morning. And then the landowner hires some more guys at 9 o'clock. He hires some more at 12 o'clock. He even hires some more at 5 o'clock. And then we know this. When the time comes to receive their wages, they all get the same amount. The people that worked only 1 hour got the same amount as the people who worked 12 hours. And that didn't sit right with a few of the people. They didn't like that. So, let's make the analogy. Remember, every parable is an analogy. Something refers to something. The landowner is God. Okay? And the vineyard almost always represents Israel. Or in this case, doing God's work. And that's what Israel was all about. They were God's representatives on earth, right? So the vineyard is doing God's work on the face of this earth. So let's get to our fill in the blanks, fill these in, and let's talk about this here. Let's talk about the workers' hours. We do know this. They all worked different hours, didn't they? Some worked 1, Some were 12. But our fill in the blank would say this. If we're going to make the analogy about the kingdom of heaven, with God being the landowner and doing His work as the vineyard, our fill in the blank would say this. Believers come to Christ at different times in their lives. Believers come to Christ at different times in their lives. Some of you sitting in here, some of you believers in here, came to Christ at a very early age. And many of these same people, many of you who came to Christ at an early age, you've been spending your entire life doing service of some sort for the kingdom of God. And that's really good. Some people spend their entire adult life doing mission work in a foreign country, and they're under very, very oppressive conditions in those foreign countries. Some people come at a later age. Most of you know, I didn't get saved till I was 40 years old. Some people come to Christ on their deathbed, whatever age that might be. We know this. The Bible tells us a story in the Gospels about a thief who came to Christ while hanging on a cross. Not quite a deathbed, but a deathbed experience. A deathbed salvation experience. Jesus says to the thief, "Today you will be with me in paradise." So every believer is going to work a different amount of hours. Some of us are going to work 12 hours symbolically. Some of us just 1 hour. Because we all come to Christ at different times in our lives. Now let's talk about the wages. The wages. Here it is at the end of the night, and it's pay time. And the wages. He promised them all, "I'll give you a denarius." Gave them all the same thing. So what are the wages? No matter if they worked 1 hour or if they worked 12 hours, they still all got paid the same. So what do these wages represent? Our second fill in the blank. All believers receive the same wage, and that wage is eternal life. The wage is eternal life. We all receive the same promise. We are all guaranteed eternal life. It doesn't matter, folks, if you're Billy Graham, who has spoken and preached to millions and millions, if not billions of people around the world, or if you're this old gray-haired grandma who confesses Christ on her deathbed. They both, Billy Graham and the grandma, receive the same wage. And that wage is eternal life. Thirdly and lastly, let's talk about the landowner's fairness. His fairness. You know, at work, I work with a guy, his name's Mike. I won't give his last name. But he works for one of the other companies there. And Mike is an unbeliever. He's not a church-going guy. But I will say this about Mike. Usually, every Monday morning, if I see him in the hallways, he'll say, "Well, Mike, what did you preach about yesterday?" And I'll have the opportunity to tell him what I preached about yesterday. So that's a good thing. And every time I tell him, I invite him to church. So one of these Sundays, maybe we'll find Mike sitting out here with the Beech Grove crowd. But this past week, he asked me on Thursday, he said, "Mike, what are you going to preach about on Sunday?" And I told him about this parable of the landowner, how they all got paid the same thing, no matter how many hours they worked. And you know what Mike said? "Well, that's not fair." He's never read this. He doesn't know the story. But when I told him the story, his first words out of his mouth were this: "That's not fair. Fair." Gave me another opportunity to explain the gospel to him. And I said, "Well, yes, it is." And then he said this: "Well, when I get to heaven, I'm going to complain." And I said, "Mike, two things. One, you got to get there first, buddy. And I know the path that you need to take to get there. And two, there's no complaining in heaven, okay? Just like there's no crying in baseball, okay? There's no complaining in heaven. There's no boasting in heaven. And if you look at the back of your bulletin, you'll see that I have that verse from 1 Corinthians back there. There's no boasting in heaven. But anyways, let's get back to the landowner's fairness. Our third fill in the blank would say this, because there's two lines there to fill in. The Bible never says God is fair, but it does say that He is generous. Okay? It doesn't say that God is fair, but it does tell us that He is generous. Let me explain something to you in case you don't understand this. Fair, the word fair, our concept of fair, is something viewed strictly from a human perspective. We think of it like this. Well, if I do more, then I deserve more. That's the way Mike thought. If a person works more hours, they should be paid more hours. Or I could say this. If this person does less, then this person deserves less. That would be fair. But if we think about this biblically, we really don't want fair. All right? Listen up. We really don't want fair. Because fair would mean this. Each and every one of us in here ends up in hell. There is no salvation for anybody. Because what does the Bible say? The wages of sin, Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is what?
Death.
We all deserve death. Do you want what's fair? Because if you want what's fair, you get a one-way ticket to the smoking section, folks. That's what's fair. We don't want fair. God has a plan of salvation, and it is more than generous. As I have said before, and I'll say it again, the worst thing in this world that could ever happen to any human being, which is this, dying and going to hell, is never going to happen to me because I trust in Jesus Christ as my Savior and as the Lord of my life. And that, my friends, the sacrifice on the cross, that isn't fair. That is generosity. That is love. That is grace. As we mature as Christians, we have to take that first step, and we take baby steps, and we keep on growing, and we keep on growing, and we keep on growing. We need to start looking at things less from a human perspective and start looking at things more from God's perspective. The work that we do as Christians on the face of this earth, that is a good thing. I think we should all do more, including myself. But too often, we as humans, we do sometimes want to boast about the accomplishments that we've done here for Christ. But 1 Corinthians 1, again, it's on the back of your bulletin, chapter 1, verses 26 through the end of the chapter, tells us that even we as Christians, we have absolutely nothing to boast about. It is because of God's generosity. It is because of God sending His Son as a sacrifice on the cross. That is the only reason that any of us are in Christ. That is more than fair. That's just genuine love. John 3:16, for God so what? He so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son. It's nothing we do. It's something He's already given. We just have to believe that. So, all believers, we're going to work different amount of hours. Some of you have been saved since you've been real small. Some of us at a later time in our lives. We all work different hours. But I guarantee you this, we're all going to receive the same wage from a more than generous landowner. These parables of Jesus. It's going to be an exciting series. Let's go to God in prayer.